Please join me in the Word of God in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. The book of Proverbs, chapter 18, where we read, "Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy, reproach. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall in his own conceit. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honour is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. A man's gift maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbour cometh and searcheth him. The lot causeth contentions to cease, and parteth between the mighty. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favour of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." And may the Lord bless to us and grant us understanding by his own most holy word. Amen.
Amen.
We continue to make an examination of certain of the characters which the book of Proverbs presents us with. Last time, you will recall, it was the sluggard. And whilst acknowledging from the scriptures that sleep in its right place is beneficial, is a necessity to the body, and is indeed a gift of God, yet nevertheless, sleep to excess at the wrong time, in the wrong place, is itself a sin. Indeed, we observe that one of the characteristics of the sluggard is that he loves to sleep, as one of the verses of the Proverbs showed us. There is much then to be learned from the Proverbs obtaining to this matter at a very practical level. The folly of tardiness in business, of slothfulness and laziness at a time when work must of necessity be done, because that opportunity might therefore be lost and the consequences be much greater thereafter. But we observed also how that this state of sleep spoke not only to the body, but also to the soul. Because there is a state of spiritual sleep. There is a state of soul laziness, as we might say. We learn from the tenor of the Word of God that the Christian life, both the entrance into it and continuance upon it, is not a matter for the lazy or for the niggardly, because it is indeed a labor, it is a war, it is a walk, and it is demanding of it. We acknowledge the sovereignty of God. We, with equal fervor, preach the responsibility of man, and that these are things to be striven for, that the kingdom of heaven suffereth, indeed demands of, this violence, this exertion on the part of those who would enter in and who would belong unto it. And so we sought to apply certain of these proverbs pertaining to sleep to the spiritual counterpart, and how it is necessary that we should not sleep in a time of sowing and of plowing, that likewise we should not sleep in a time when there is a harvest to be reaped. We found here a great parallel to our Lord's own words in the Gospels, that we should work while it is day, and whilst such an opportunity presents itself unto us. And so throughout the course of the book of Proverbs, as we are presented with the character of the sluggard, we are taught these negative lessons, and we are warned against this particular malady of the soul. And we hear echoing through it all that great New Testament truth, "Arise, thou that awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." We move on this evening to be introduced to another character who is to be found on a number of occasions in the book of Proverbs. But let me preface our meeting of him to say a little about what Proverbs has to say about the lips, the mouth, particularly the use of it in speech and in the pronouncing of words. Already we have seen a number of truths upon this very subject. In looking at the righteous, the upright, the just man, we observed how that speaking righteousness and declaring the truth was characteristic of them, and how that speaking the word of God was to have lips as a wellspring of life, was one of the descriptions used of them. We also thought, as we came to the main body of the book of Proverbs, about the matter of the giving of instruction, which the whole book of Proverbs is geared toward, but how we too, in our place and in our turn, are exhorted to give spiritual, biblical instruction. Well, the book of Proverbs has a great deal more to say about the use of words. And as we read the 18th chapter together, you doubtless observed many verses upon this subject. Here, for example, at verse 4, we are told, "The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook." Here is a positive truth, akin to those that we have already read and learned. But now we have a converse truth in verse 6. "A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." Still further, there in verse 13, a most remarkable statement about those who are ever hasty with a reply. "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." Still further in verse 19, we observe a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle, depicting argumentation, words of strife and contention which may occur between two persons. Indeed, verse 21 perhaps summarizes the matter most succinctly when it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Here is a remarkable thing, that the tongue can be used in such opposite and contrasting ways as for Proverbs to say that both death and life can be found in the same place of the body, in the same organ of the body, in the same function of man, namely the speech, namely the tongue. And I'm sure we see how at a spiritual level this is true. With the mouth, man confesseth unto salvation, Romans chapter 10 tells us, whilst with that same mouth, those who have denounced and defied God have indeed proven themselves to stand condemned already, and have proved with that verse 7 that a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. And so we are to see the great opposites of which the tongue is capable, and the tremendous contrasts which are to be observed there. And thus we learn the truth of Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 7, that there is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. The character of tonight's study is someone who is a fool in not knowing the time to keep silence. Because the person to whom I would like to introduce you in the Word of God today is this individual mentioned in verse 8 and called the talebearer. The talebearer. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. Now perhaps the matter of being a talebearer, of telling tales, is something with which we were perhaps charged or rebuked as children, and as such we think it is a matter that belongs to infants and are inclined to minimize it in our minds and in our estimations. But as we find this word, and find it almost exclusively in the book of Proverbs, we should realize that it is a far more serious matter than that, and that it is a thing which does not afflict children only. Indeed, in them it might perhaps be perceived as much less a thing than when it affects and afflicts adults. This matter of tale-bearing is a very serious one, which the scriptures soundly condemn. I was interested to look at the Hebrew word which underlies that translated talebearer here in our text and in other texts in the book of Proverbs. Apparently, so Strong tells us, the word conveys the sense of rolling a thing, indeed rolling it into pieces. And one could hardly think of a more apt or fitting description for what is often the course and the consequences of the spreading of tales, the gossiping of particular facts or perhaps of half-truths and lies, what the inevitable course of events is and how it is most likely to end, how perhaps like a person rolling a snowball down a slope, how as it rolls along the matter gets larger and larger and more unwieldy, gets out of control of the person who originally commenced it, knocks any number of persons over in its flight until ultimately it breaks into pieces and destruction at the end. And there is something of this sense contained in the word talebearer, as we find it in the Word of God and here in the book of Proverbs. Now, my friends, how subtle a sin this can be, and how difficult a one to identify, both in others and, alas, in ourselves. There are perhaps those prone to gossip who might readily be identified. But it has many related sins and manifestations associated with it. How we might from time to time drop hints or little bits of information concerning a person to another, seeking to besmirch them, sowing the seeds of uncertainty or of doubt in the minds of another person concerning the first individual. How in the passing on of what we might innocuously think of as being news or information, we are in fact, on account of the flesh, on account of the fallen nature, doing so with an ulterior motive and with intentions which are less than honourable, and are guilty of this sin ourselves. Well, my friends, to whatever extent we are affected by it, or alas, guilty of it, let us learn what we may from the book of Proverbs. Chapter 11 has this to say in verse 12. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbour, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Verse 12 speaks of the neighbour. We might in our minds jump to that New Testament question posed to the Lord as to who our neighbour might be. And we learn from the parable which he gave by way of answer that we are neighbour to any person whose path we cross, unto whom we might thereby do either good or evil. We live in the habitable parts of the earth, as Proverbs 8 calls them, and it is inevitable that we will have to do with other of our fellow humans. And each and every one with whom we come into contact might be regarded as a neighbour. So, here are two neighbours, here are two persons, between whom some contention has arisen, some friction, some difficulty. And this situation might provoke one of two reactions. He that is void of wisdom, we are told, the fool, the ungodly individual, despiseth his neighbour, reacts very badly to the supposed slur or slight or indignity which he has suffered, and it breeds a certain hatred in his heart, so that he is now despising his neighbour and taking every opportunity to slur his neighbour and to tell his friends and family of what he has suffered on account of his neighbour. That is one reaction. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. The way of wisdom here, the way of understanding, is not to allow this state of despite to arise within our hearts, but rather to quench it by maintaining silence, holding our peace upon these matters so that it does not breed hatred in our own minds, so it does not then infect others to whom we might speak. And then verse 13 is a development upon this same theme, as it tells us a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. The talebearer you see here is one and the same with that man who is devoid of wisdom. Because of a certain despising of his fellow man, his neighbor, or whomsoever it might be, the talebearer goes about revealing secrets, betraying confidences, passing on information which otherwise ought not to have been shared, all to the injury of his fellow man. But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter, keeps silence, does not relate the information, does not publish the situation abroad, but conceals it, does their best to cover it over and to patch up whatever rift might have developed. These are the actions of one who is of, and I was interested in the use of this word, a faithful spirit. Faithfulness. Now, we know what it perhaps means in the immediate context of this verse and these words. It means keeping faith, of not betraying confidences, of not divulging secrets. But faithfulness is a still broader concept. It is a highly, what we might almost call, New Testament concept, which belongs to our Christian life. It is indeed to be found amongst those things called the fruit of the Spirit, which, Galatians 22, are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That matter of having faith and being consequently faithful in matters large and small, in matters of our Christian profession and in matters of our personal lives, this is a fruit of the Spirit. So what then does that tell us about tale-bearing? It tells us that it is the antithesis, it is the very opposite of one of the fruits of the Spirit. And as such, we should realize that this is a vice against which we should be guarded and which we should eschew. He that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Now, as you know, friends, as we've been engaged in the publication of the latest Link magazine, this very subject came before us. This matter of the covering of sins. And you will recall that verse which reminds us that love covereth a multitude of sins. At a human level, at an interpersonal level, there is a work of concealing iniquity that we, as the Lord's people, may be engaged upon. Now, we don't mean concealing iniquity in a sinful way, in a dishonest way, harboring it, continuing to regard it in our hearts, but when sin occurs, perhaps sin against us or sin that we observe in the part of another person, if we have that other fruit of the Spirit, namely love, we will not want to proclaim these things abroad. We will not want to magnify sin by our speaking of it continually, by our publicizing of it constantly, but rather to conceal it, to seek to ensure that it does not break out, that it does not become much larger and have more dire consequences, that it does not snowball, if we may again use that analogy, to a destructive conclusion. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but those who have the fruit of the Spirit, those who are of a loving spirit, those who are of a faithful spirit, will be the very opposite of talebearers. They will be those who seek
to conceal the matter.
We meet the talebearer again, albeit by a different name, in Proverbs chapter 16. And here in verse 28 is the same Hebrew word, but given a different English translation. And again, we find that the verse which precedes the text sets the scene. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. And it is the word here translated whisperer, which is the same Hebrew as is called talebearer in other verses of the book of Proverbs. And again, can we not see the danger, the sin, the dire consequences of this talebearing, of this gossiping attitude? It is described in that verse 27, firstly, as a digging up of evil. The very opposite of concealment, the very opposite of trying to discreetly hide a thing which would otherwise be injurious. Here is the ungodly man, heedlessly, carelessly, or perhaps maliciously, digging up evil. Perhaps an old conflict, perhaps a long forgotten and forgiven strife between persons, the ungodly man is trying to unearth it again. And in his lips, because very often it is this verbal sin which does the digging, in his lips there is as a burning fire. What damage a fire can do. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. What harm might here be done? The sowing of strife, perhaps at first unintentionally, perhaps a little mischievously, and yet it can be to the separating of chief friends. Now, my friends, there is perhaps nothing so much akin to this chiefest of friendships as to that brotherly love and to that spiritual fraternity which should exist among the people of God. Here, surely, is the strongest friendship of all. There can be no true friendship between one of the people of God and one of the children of this world, between a believer and unbeliever. Similarly, there can be no such friendship between unbelievers, devoid of faith and the knowledge of God, as there can be between believers, who are sons and daughters of the same Heavenly Father. Therefore, we conclude that the chiefest of friendships is surely that which obtains between the people of God. But this, you see, may be jeopardized, may be hazarded, by this matter of talebearing, by the sowing of discord and strife. What a danger is here then for the church and for spiritual unity and union between one another. Let us learn what a serious matter this is. Indeed, the book of Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 9, I will not turn you to the text, but the section there lists a number of abhorrent sins and iniquities which were being committed amongst the so-called people of God in the Old Testament. And there in the midst of it, we find the bearing of tales to shed blood. How that the bearing of tales may indeed go so far as to create this degree of injury and harm. Do you remember what our chapter had to say in Proverbs 18 and verse 8? The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. This matter of telling tales, of multiplying rumours of another's sins or vices, as it might be imagined, besmirching another's character by this practice, is to inflict a wound. And the scriptures do not liken these verbally inflicted wounds merely to cuts and to grazes or to superficial injuries. This is speaking of something fatal. This is speaking of a wound that has gone so deep as to pierce the innermost parts of the belly, the sort of wound from which a person is not going to recover. This can be one of the dire consequences of this behaviour. That some secret which is revealed, that some evil that is unearthed, that some tale which is told, is so injurious to another person, maybe to the person who is being spoken about, or maybe even to the person who is being spoken to. Or it might be that the gossip themselves does themselves the greatest injury and shame by it. And it can be an injury from which their reputation might never recover. Indeed, facts might become known that ought not to have been known, which are to their permanent and almost irreversible personal injury. It is very easy to tell a secret or to come into knowledge of a secret. It is impossible to untell it or to unlearn it. It is so easy to tell a tale. It is impossible to recall that tale. For a further verse upon this troubling character, we shall stray beyond the main body of Proverbs into the 26th chapter, where there is an extended section upon this very matter. And perhaps we shall read from verse 17 of chapter 26, for there is much highly practical instruction here. As we are told, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears, as a mad man who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death. So is the man that deceiveth his neighbour and saith, am not I in sport? Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Very graphic language indeed, and yet so easy to understand and to grasp the meaning and the truth which is here being taught. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. so where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Oh, how very often our own hearts, our human relationships with one another are like a tinderbox. The very least thing might inflame passions and cause all sorts of damage and destruction to occur. And in the midst of that situation, a talebearer is like a madman throwing firebrands around. And not only that, but it is the talebearer who spreads fire amongst inflammable materials or heaps more fuel upon an already incendiary situation. If such fires would be quenched, if a restoration to peace and tranquility is desired, the first thing to remove is the bearer of tales, the spreader of rumours, those who are first upon the telephone to relate the latest development in a situation or an argument to everyone they can think of to tell. What harm they are doing, what fire they are kindling. Proverbs 20, then, has something to say about our reaction. Proverbs 20, at verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. The teller of tales, the flatterer with the lips, one dissembling in his speech, are closely related the one to another, and the instruction from this book of wisdom is that we do not even meddle with such, that we do not get involved, that we give them the widest possible berth, that wherever possible, such persons are eradicated from our company, and indeed, it might be said, disciplined from churches where they can cause such harm and indeed separate the chiefest of friendships. Here is a sin to which we must be alert and which we must be instant in addressing and dealing with. It is interesting that we have essentially the same commandment spreading right from the Old Testament and into the New, where we read in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbour. I am the Lord. Here is God in the midst of his Old Testament law, staking his own name and nature in reinforcement of this injunction, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Likewise, as we come into 2 Thessalonians, we hear the Apostle Paul condemning those in the last chapter of 2 Thessalonians and verse 11, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. And in other of his epistles too, we find him speaking of those which enter into other persons' houses and lead away those who are susceptible to their tales, to their rumours, into all manner of diverse lusts. Our character tonight, my friends, is long-lived. He began his course in the Old Testament. He is seen again in the New, and he continues to this present day, against which let us ever be guarded. Now, in making this study of the words in the book of Proverbs, I was struck by how closely they allied themselves with those in the Epistle of James. And it is there that we shall conclude our thoughts this evening. For in the Epistle of James and chapter 3, we have this timeless biblical wisdom further enlarged upon, where we are told in its fifth verse, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed by mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man? Connection again to Proverbs, you see. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Oh, my friends, would we be wise men and women? Would we be endued with such knowledge as the book of Proverbs speaks? Then let us learn a lesson from the talebearer. Let us remember how that with the same tongue we would bless God, even the Father. What a contradiction if with that same organ of the body we are heard to curse men, or to speak ill of men, or to broadcast the sins of men who are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeding blessings and cursings, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Then let us, warned by this example in the book of Proverbs, learn to say with the psalmist, "Set watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips, incline not my heart to any evil thing." May God hear us and help us in this our prayer, for his name's sake. Amen. Amen. Hymn 695 makes its prayer, "So let our lips and lives express the holy gospel we profess. So let our works and virtues shine to prove the doctrine all divine." The hymn 695.
Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Amen.
Amen.